May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pure and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Master, and our King. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as with the last three sermons, today's sermon is similar in nature in that it comes as a result of what members have asked. Members have asked for some answers to questions, whether it was about what happens when we die, to today, Passover. I've had a number of people say, Pastor Matt, what exactly is the connection between Passover and Holy Communion? What's the relationship that is there? And I think their question comes out of two basic reasons. One is there is a desire to more fully understand some of the symbolism of the Passover, which we heard about this morning. Granted, out of order, but that was okay. And to understand how that symbolism of Passover carries over into communion. But also, I think it comes out of a desire to celebrate communion in a proper manner, to celebrate communion with a proper heart and a proper attitude. After all, St. Paul does tell us, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself. I mean, that's scary when you think about what Paul is saying. As we come to communion today, we partake of the bread, we partake of the cup. Paul tells us that if we do this in an unworthy manner, we are disgracing the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and we are eating and drinking condemnation on ourselves. And people don't want to make that mistake. So, let us begin a journey. A journey into the Passover. And a journey into communion. To see how they relate together and hopefully make our celebration today one of even greater significance and importance. First of all, we have to understand something. We have to understand that Passover was a type or a shadow of what was to come. In other words, much like King David in the 23rd Psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He wasn't walking through the valley of death because he knew, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. King David knew that even if King Saul killed him, his body would be dead, but his soul would live. He would be with the Lord forever. So for him, death was but a shadow. And that is the same with Passover. It was a shadow of something to come. It's something that God instituted. And it is a divinely ordained prophetic picture of God's deliverance, both then in Egypt, as we heard, and right here, right now. Now, the Passover itself was of such great importance that their whole year revolved around it. When God gave Moses the instructions, this is what he said. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. with Passover, suddenly everything was changed and the new year began at Passover. And they were to do this every single year. Why? Because it would remind them that every new year of their life was a gift of God. Every new year that they had in the promised land was because of God's deliverance. They could not begin a new year without remembering it. Because here is how they would start their new year. It would start with the Passover celebration. Is it any wonder then that the church year itself begins with the Christmas season? Why? Well, back then, the Passover was deliverance from Egypt. It was the beginning of that deliverance. They still had a journey to go, but it all began with that Passover when the angel of death came, wiped out Egypt. I mean, killed the firstborn of every Egyptian, including Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, take them, go, leave. In fact, the Israelites pillaged Egypt. They took whatever they want. And the Egyptians were, as long as you leave, just take what you want. Here, take our gold, take our stocks, bonds, whatever. It was a new beginning for us at Christmas, which is right around the corner. That is a new beginning for us. Because when Christ was born, He was born to deliver. To deliver us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. That is exactly why we start the church year with Advent and Christmas. It's patterned after the Passover. It's patterned after what God did. And every year in the church year, we begin with the birth of Jesus Christ. And we can't forget it because we begin with the celebration. But if we continue on and look at God's instructions, we see something that's rather unique. Again, He said, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the new year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. It's to be the beginning of a new year, but on the 10th of this month. The new year starts and you do nothing for 10 days. Then after 10 days, you pick a lamb. Well, what in the world do you have to wait 10 days for? Why not begin with picking the lamb? There was something they were supposed to do. They were to prepare. They were mentally to prepare for the picking of that lamb. They were mentally to prepare for celebrating the great deliverance. Those 10 days were a time of preparation for the big event. God didn't want them to just start off with, oh, it's New Year, okay, we're going to do everything right now. Because you know what would happen if you did that? Everybody would come to dread that day. Well, that's the day where we try to do everything in one day. Oh, it comes to the time of Passover. It's the new. And so you take 10 days. 10 days of quiet. 10 days to mentally prepare. 10 days to be ready for that deliverance. Now you can understand what Paul was talking about when he said, let a man examine himself. When we come to communion, I hope we don't just come and then when it's time for communion go, oh yeah, this is when the pastor says a prayer of confession of sins. I better confess my sins real quick. Okay. All right, confess my sins. Okay, I'm ready to go. Oh no. You know, beginning of every month, the first Sunday of every month at Zion, we celebrate communion. You should be taking at least 10 days. In the Bible, 10 is the number of fullness. 10 commandments. Take 10 days to mentally prepare to celebrate the new Passover, which we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But after that 10 days of preparation, what were they to do? They were to get a lamb. Get a lamb that would be sacrificed. That lamb had certain stipulations. That lamb had to, number one, be without blemish. That lamb had to be male, had to be young, and they had to pick it and keep it in the house for 4 days. Why? To examine it. To look at it. To make sure, number one, that there was no defect. But also to kind of get to know that lamb. That lamb was going to give its life for you. And it was to be slain in public. No bones were to be broken. But then you were to take the blood from that lamb. You were to go to your door, put the blood on each doorpost, and then over the top of the door, so that the entrance to your house was completely covered with blood. That night, when the angel of death came, and he came to the entrance of your house and he saw the blood on it, he would pass over you and go to the next house. And the Egyptians would suffer terribly. But God said, when you eat that, have your jacket on, have your staff in hand, get ready to go, because I am going to deliver you. Interesting. When it comes to that lamb, those stipulations, 7 points. 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection. It's the 7 points of perfection, of the 7 points of deliverance from the land of Egypt and from sin. What does that lamb really represent? Remember, this is a divinely ordained prophetic picture of God's deliverance. That lamb is a shadow of how God would really deliver through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus was without blemish. He never sinned. Jesus was male. Jesus was young. He was only 30 years old when he began his ministry, 33 when he died on the cross. He was examined for 3 years of ministry. He was slain in public, but just as the prophet said, and just as Passover showed us, not a bone in his body was broken. His blood covers us. Paul tells us that when we are baptized, next week we have a couple of baptisms, that when we are baptized into the blood of Jesus. We are baptized into His death and resurrection. Judgment passes over us because of what Jesus did. Now what's interesting is, that's not the end of the Passover. Picking this lamb, slaughtering it, putting the blood on your door. Then they were supposed to do something. It was the final act. They were to roast it and eat it. Eat the lamb and the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs. All of it, a tremendous image of what was happening. I mean, bitter herbs, the bitterness in Egypt. But food, strengthen us so that we can go into deliverance. Unleavened bread, no yeast, no sin. We're being delivered to live a righteous life for God in the promised land, is how the children of Israel saw it. But this is what Jesus also said to us in the gospel this morning. Jesus said that we're to feed on Him. He said that He is the manna come down from heaven. When they went out into the wilderness, how did they make it through? God gave them manna. How are we to make it through life? God gave us Jesus. Jesus said He is the bread of life. Eating bread, eating food gives us strength. We are to feed on Jesus. Now, does this mean, as some of the detractors of Jesus in our gospel this morning said, that He was promoting cannibalism? No. No. He's not promoting cannibalism. Rather, the answer lies in His own words. We call them the words of institution. Where He takes the bread, He breaks it, and He says, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you." When He takes the cup and He says, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Food strengthens us. And as we come to the Lord's Supper today, we come to be strengthened. Jesus Himself will come to us and He will strengthen us. We come for forgiveness of sins. And we come, we do this in remembrance of Him. God said that that Passover was a memorial that they would never forget. Every time that we celebrate communion, this is our new Passover. This is the new memorial. Let us never forget that it wasn't some lamb taken out of a field, but it was the Lamb of God come down from heaven who gave His body, who gave His blood, which covers us so that our sins are forgiven. The penalty of sin is death. Jesus took that penalty on for us. Jesus linked the old and new. His very words. And He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." It harkens back to the Passover. Do this. Don't forget. You've been bought at a great cost. But there's one other thing. One other thing that just jumped out at me with the Passover. And I've not seen it because I've always used the NIV Bible. The NIV Bible is a great Bible. It's one we use in our church. It's very accurate. But when it was written with what we call a concept for concept idea. In other words, we want to make it easy to read. If you've read the old King James, you know that's sometimes a little hard to read. And so, try to make it easy to read, but to make sure that we keep all the concepts, all the doctrines, all the beliefs consistent with what is there originally. But sometimes, in concept for concept, we lose some of the special little nuances. So I'd like to read for you that choosing of the Lamb again, but this time from the New King James Version, which reads almost identical to what's called the English Standard Version. These are word-for-word interpretations. They're very literal. They don't always read as easily. But listen carefully to the description of the Lamb. See if you catch this. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, Let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Do you notice a little progression there? A lamb, the lamb, your lamb. That lamb goes from being out in the field to being the lamb of the Passover to being your personal lamb of the Passover. And perhaps there is the greatest parallel between Passover and Holy Communion. There's all sorts of people out there that say they have the truth of eternity. I guess we could call them lambs. There's a lamb, or many lambs. But then there's the lamb. The one lamb that really is the answer for all eternity. And the greatest thing is, he is your lamb. He is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is what we celebrate today. This is the new Passover. It is my hope and my prayer that we have prepared and that we have prepared well to celebrate our deliverance this day. In our Savior's name. Amen. This time I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward to gather our tithes and our offerings.